Kof Zion Ma'am Cheshvan, Monday the 28th of November, Rabbi Yossi Cohen, Kibbud of Va'im.
Unfortunately, this is the first time that I'm speaking since my father, Rami Shaev and Shmuel Aryeh, late Mr. Arnold Cohen, was Nifta. So I'm sure you all know he was a person who made a great Kiddush Hashem in his lifetime and left a great name here in Golders Green and all over. And whatever I say, Mitzvah Hashem should be in Ilu Nishmasi.
Amen.
In this week's parasha, we find what I like to call milchama, a battle in the midst of Kibbud Av Va'Em behind the scenes. There's a very fascinating idea which Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz writes in one place when he discusses the milchama in the Purim story. And seeing that Purim's around the corner, allow me just to mention it. He says that the very first thing that we know about Esther is that ki ein lo av ve'em, she had no father and she had no mother. Then the pasuk repeats, "Ubemois avia ve'imam," when her father and mother died, "Lakocha Mordechai lo ilabas." She had no parents, and the Gemara Megillah actually elaborates and tells us exactly what happened. The Gemara tells us that her father died before she was born, and her mother died at the birth. Rachman al-Islam, imagine going to those two tragic funerals. First one is Avichail, person is Nifta young, and people must have been terribly emotional at the Levaya, and as they wiped their tears away from the Levaya, they probably comforted themselves that at least the baby who, as a pregnant wife expecting a baby, the baby that will be born, boy or girl, at least will have a mother. Imagine a couple of months later, somebody walking in saying, mazel tov, baruch dein ha'emes. Mazel tov, a baby girl has just been born, baruch dein ha'emes, the mother passed away at the birth. Shocking, absolutely shocking. Two huge question marks in why Hashem does this, brings such a tragedy upon mankind. Says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, if you press the fast forward button, the number of decades will realize that without that double tragedy, the whole Purim story would never have happened. Why not? Because the Gemara says in Masechtas Kiddushin, a shocking statement, Ashrei mi shaloi chomon. Fortunate is the person who never knew them. Who never knew who? Says Chazal, fortunate is the person who never knew their parents. Abaya, says the Gemara, which is as far and brought down as Rashi Tevis, Asher B'cho Yerucham Yosem. Abaya's father was Nifta before he was born, and his mother was Nifteres at the birth. Rabbi Yochanan, his father was Nifta before he was born, his mother was Nifteres at the birth. And as we're discussing here, Esther, her father was Nifteres, Nifta before she was born, her mother at the birth. Says Rashi, what's the Ashrei, fortunate? A very shocking notion in Rashi. He uses the word, it's e'efsha, to fully comply and do the mitzvah of Kibbud Av Va'Em perfectly, seems to be close to impossibility. And on one side, someone who never ever knew their parents for even a split second, with all the tragedy involved, put on the side for a moment, but the reality is, in the mitzvah of Kibbud Av Va'Em, they have a clean sheet. They have never in their life slipped up in the mitzvah of Kibbud Av Va'Em, never caused any anguish or pain, and in that area, they are perfect. It's true, they've never struggled with the mitzvah of Kibbud Av Va'Em. They never had the fight and the Yitzhar and all the rest of that we all have to deal with. However, as the Me'am Lo'ez quotes Chazal, the famous Chazal, when a person wishes they could do a certain mitzvah, but due to circumstances, they can't do it, and they're upset about it, so that's tantamount to having done it perfectly. So it's true, they never struggled with the mitzvah, but on the one hand, number one, they never had any checks against them, no crosses against them, no agmas nefesh or pain ever caused on any side. And also, these tzaddikim all had tzar, they never could be mekayim the mitzvah. So the bottom line is, they are perfect in the mitzvah of Kibbud Av Va'Em. Says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, in the Purim story, although there was this double tragedy with Esther losing her parents, but when we press the fast forward button a number of decades down the line, and all of a sudden, the Hitler of the day, Yimach Shemoy Haman, all of a sudden comes to power, Chazal tell us that Haman, who was descended from Amalek, who came from Esav. Esav, in this week's Parashah, Parshas Toldos, was outstanding in mitzvahs kibbud av. Let's leave out the aim for the time being. But in mitzvahs kibbut av, he was outstanding. So much so that Chazal say that Amiroyim testified about themselves. We don't come close to the Madriga. People who were outstanding in mitzvahs kibbut av aim themselves testified. We don't come close to the Madriga of Esav's kibbut av. Every single time he went to be mechabed his father, he put on his Shabbos clothes. That's the same glutton who couldn't even take a knife and fork in this week's parsha and had the food literally downed his throat. He was the one who, when it came to respecting his father, even though it might have been for ulterior motives, but Sayyid Befiv, his father loved him for the tremendous covers and things that he gave him. It says, if you listen to Ibershitz, Haman, who comes from Amalek, who comes from Esav, was walking around very confidently. Nobody can start up with me. Because the schus of my ancestor Esav, Chazal say clearly in one place, goes all the way till the end of days. And to be able to contend, to be able to counterbalance that schus is not a simple feat. Who is going to be able to stand up to Haman, who has the schus of his ancestor Esav's kibbut av in the Purim story? The answer is a tiny little baby girl who never in her life even once slipped up in Mitzvahs kibbut av v'aim, ki ein lo av v'aim. She was the one who could stand up against Esav's Amalek, and in this case, Haman's chus. And Yehoshua Naibashis continues and says that you will find everywhere in Tanakh, without exception, whenever there is a battle between Klal Yisrael and Amalek, you will always find that the one who fights from our side is always someone from either Shevet Yosef or from Shevet Binyamin. Why is that? I mean, just to give a few examples, if you look and say for Shoftim, there are two battles where Amalek appears in the third Perek and the sixth Perek. In the third Perek, you find Amalek, and from our side, it was Ehud ben Gera, who fought. He came from Shevet Binyamin. He was an Ishumini. You'll find in the sixth Perek of Shoftim, Gidoin also fought against Amalek and Midian, and Gidoin was from Shevet Menashe, from Yosef. Further on, say for Shmuel, obviously Shaul is from Amalek, is from Binyamin, he fought against Amalek. Although David HaMelech, towards the end of Shmuel, also fights against Amalek, and he's from Shevet Yehuda. But if you look in Divrei HaYomim, it's quite clear, he took Shevet Yosef to join him in the battle. Of course, in the Midbar, the one who fought in the battlefield was Yeshua, who's from Shevet Ephraim. And in the end of days, it will be Mashiach ben Yosef, once again, from that particular Shevet. How come it's only those Shvatim that can counterbalance what Amalek has when it comes to this battle? Says of Yonis and Ibershitz, very simply, Ruvain, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Don, Naphtali, God, and Osher, on their Madriga, all slipped up in the midst of kibbut av when they sold Yosef. They caused their father tremendous anguish. They are not the ones that can counterbalance Amalek, Esav's chus. The only two that can are Yosef, who was never the one who was sold, and Binyamin, who was never in the Mechira. Those two could stand up against Amalek. It's interesting, a lot of things fit in when you think about this. Binyamin's mother also died at his birth. Chazal say Binyamin was a person who was one of the few who never sinned in his life, which means he was perfect in kibbut av v'aim. And if you look at the life of Yosef, it's very interesting. Yosef was outstanding both in kibbut av and kibbut aim. The pasuk says, V'hoyo beis Yaakov leish, or beis Yosef lehova, or beis Esav lekash. Which quite clearly seems to be telling us that Yaakov is the fire, but he isn't the flame that can actually get over and devour Esav and destroy Esav. He's the Eish, Yosef is the Lahava, and that destroys Esav. It seems that there's something about Yosef that can extend from Yaakov, who on his madriga can't do it himself. No, Yaakov was 22 years away from his father, so he couldn't be mechabit him. But Yosef, once again, was outstanding both in kibbut av and in kibbut aim. In kibbut av, we see that he literally risked his life to go and report in what his brothers were doing. The Sefer Chassidim actually says that he learned from his uncle Esav to literally risk his life for the sake of his father. That's exactly what he did. Esav went to hunt in the dangerous jungles, whatever it was, into the Midbar to find food for his father. And Yosef went, although he knew his brothers were not terribly fond of him, he went with Mesiras Nefesh to find out, Hineni, here I am, my father. I'll do whatever you want, Rashi says. Kibbut av. And even when he was the viceroy of Egypt later on, he himself prepared his chariot, and he himself went to greet his father. Le mitzvah Aviv, Rashi says, Le chavod Aviv. Sorry? To do a mitzvah. It's, yeah. It seems to be that, generally not, it's not, but in this particular case, it seems he felt that there's a certain element of protecting all of Klal Yisrael from the Schus of Esav. That seems to be the necessity of what he was doing. And it's interesting to note that the very first time Esav meets Yosef, the two opposites, the antithesis one to another, Yosef does an act of kibud ein. Esav comes, and Yosef in Parshas Vayishlach puts his mother behind him, which when you think about it, is an act of kibud ein, at great risk. This is actually one point that Esav is weak in. We find he was outstanding in kibud av, but it's quite clear from this week's Parshas, kibud ein was lacking. Because he says, when Yaakov takes the brachas, he says, Yikruvu yimei evel avi va'ahargas Yaakov achi. I'll wait till my father dies, and then I'll get hold of Yaakov. Says Rashi, Shaloyat tsar es abba. I shouldn't give my father tsar. But one second, what about your mother? It seems he doesn't seem to be too concerned about his mother. Oiva voit us, had he been outstanding in the midst of kibbut aim as well. So it's interesting to note, the first time he and Yosef meet, Yosef does an act of kibbut aim. And this is the battle that's going on. If you look in this week's parasha, behind the scenes, I'm not going to go through all the psukim now, but behind the scenes there's this ongoing, it seems, battle, who can get ahead in the midst of kibud av va'im. The moment Esav goes out hunting at great risk because his father sent him to do that, so immediately Rivka turns to Yaakov and tells him to do something which is very hard for him. I don't think it's any harder for Esav to go and risk his whole life going into the forest to get food for his father than it was for Yaakov to do what was for him the Akedah, to say something which wasn't 100% true. That was his great mysterious nefesh, for the sake of honoring his mother, as she says to him in no uncertain terms, listen to what I have to say to you. When Rivka Shemas, she heard Rivka Omer Yaakov ben Olemo, hine shemati esavicha medal elo. And now she says to him, now that you have to go in, v'ato b'ni shma b'koili, asher ani metzave oisach. Listen to what I, your mother, is saying to you. Again, something which Esav is weak in, but she is now telling Yaakov to do something which is very hard for him to do under the circumstances. So much so, the Gaon says, Ulayi Mosheini Ovi, he says, Ulayi is from the word halavai. Usually when you don't want something to happen, it's pen. Says the Gaon, for Yaakov Avinu, he half wished that his father would feel him and realize it's not him, so that he won't have to say a sheker from his mouth. That's how much it was difficult for Yaakov to do what he was doing, but he did it because his mother told him. And if you look at the psukim, you'll see that there's this ongoing battle between them. And then Esav comes in afterwards, and he brings the father the food. And Rivka realizes that he's furious. He wants to avenge what Yaakov did. And now she says to Yaakov Avinu towards the end of the parasha, "V'ata b'ni shma b'koili v'kum barachecho alavon achi charona." And Yaakov now had to run away from the house. And she goes and tells Yitzchok, "Katzdi b'chayei." And then you know. Then the next thing you know is Esav's trying to catch up. Vayar Esav, kiberach Yitzchok es Yaakov, v'shilach oisei p'edena aram, l'kachas lo yimishom isha, b'baruch oisei, v'yitzav olov leivo le'sikach isha m'b'reis kanan. And listen to this next pasuk. V'yishma Yaakov el oviv ve'el imoi, v'yelech p'edena aram. So Esav saw the battle seems to be not going so well. The penultimate pasuk of this week's parasha, Vayar Esav ki rois b'nois k'nan b'eini Yitzchak oviv, Vayelech Esav el Yishmol, Vayikach es mochas bas Yishmol. He now quickly went forward and did something which would be pleasurable to his father. And as he goes through, you see that Esav knew that this mitzvah, if he holds onto it really strongly, he will have Chas v'Shalom Klal Yisrael by the neck. Because he was outstanding in this mitzvah, and he knew that if he passes that down the Masorah to his children and grandchildren, that will always be Chalila a Kitruk against Klal Yisrael. We see later on that the one who chased Yaakov Avinu was Eliphaz. Eliphaz chased Yaakov Avinu, and if you look at Rashi there, when he quotes the whole story, he had one concern when Yaakov tried to talk him out of killing him. What was his whole concern? Ma ese l'tzivui shel abba. My father told me to do this. Full stop, there's nothing to discuss. I have to kill you. And then Yaakov had to work out a whole pretense to try and get around that problem by saying that if you take my money, then I'm a choshev kemes as well. But it's quite clear that the Masorah went down afterwards to the children. Esav passed it down, and that's, Rachman al-Islam, what has been a kitrug. And as I say, the Medrash says that until Mashiach, that particular kitrug stands against us. It seems quite clear that today the schus of Esav's kibadav seems to be petering out from the looks of things. Today, if there's no kibadav bonim in that world, then there's no connection whatsoever. But the reality is, the battle goes on. I heard in the name, I didn't hear exactly who from, but I heard that one God once said that one of the reasons why people, Bli Ayin Hara, are zeicher to such longevity, such long lives with Zman Hazeh, one of the reasons is to give us the opportunity to be Mechabad parents for as long as possible, whilst we can, to basically get rid of that schus that Esav has till the end of days. The famous Gemara of Doma ben Nesina, right? Famous Gemara, Doma ben Nesina, Ad Heichon, to what degree does Mesiris Nefesh go for Kibbutz Avim? So the Gemara goes and brings a proof from a Goy in Ashkelon. It's a shame and disgrace. The Gemara has to bring a proof from a Goy about one of the mitzvahs, which is Aseres Hadibros, how far one goes. We learn from a Goy. I'm not going into the discussion whether he was halachically right or wrong for not waking up his father and how he did it. But the reality is the Gemara uses him as a paradigm. And the Chiddush Harim says that the reason why he was rewarded the next year with the Parah Adumah is because there was that kitruk. That Klal Yisrael here, one of the Aseres Hadibros is being learnt to the ultimate degree of Mesiras Nefesh from a Goy in Ashkelon, Doma ben Asida. So the Ribbono Shel Olam gave him the next year in his herd. He had the Parah Adumah. Says the Chiddush HaRim, that at the end of the day, mitzvah kibud av va'eim is a mitzvah sichli. It makes sense, they brought you into the world, they gave you this, so you have to try and be mechabed them. But mitzvah Parah Adumah is a chayk. And look at Klal Yisrael. Re'u ma bein b'ni leben chomi. Look how Klal Yisrael are willing to spend a fortune of money for a mitzvah that they have no hasoga, they don't understand what it's about. It's Parah Adumah, it's a chayk. Yes, it's true, the goyim will keep a mitzvah, which is, or did used to keep a mitzvah, which was a mitzvah sichri. It makes sense, right? And obviously there might again be ulterior motives. If I do it to them, my parents, they'll happen back. All these things, and by giving a Parah Adumah, that was the quietening of that kitrug against Klal Yisrael, that they are willing to spend so much money for something they don't even understand. I saw once in a Sefer that when the Tor, and after him the Mechaber, wrote the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't just put simonim here or there. There's reasons why they put this halacha in this simon, or that halacha in the other simon. All these people were not just giants in halacha, they were giants in Kabbalah and many other things as well. And it's very interesting how the various simonim, of Tzadik HaKoyim brings this down as well, the various simonim in Shulchan Aruch are chosen, the number of the simon is chosen for a reason. Here's one of the examples. Where did the Torah, and followed afterwards by the Mechaber, where did they put Hilchas Kibud Avayim? It's in Yeridea Simon Reish Mem. That's where it is. All the halachas that we have to know, and it's relevant to every person, whether we still have parents who unfortunately have gone on to the next world. There's all different halachas for all circumstances that are relevant to a person. And the Sfarim bring down that Simon Reish Mem. Reish Mem is Gematria 240. And by no coincidence, that's the exact Gematria of the word Amalek. Amalek is 240. The way we defeat Amalek is with what it says in Simon Reish Mem, which is Gematria Amalek.
2 times 120 as well.
So this is, as they say, the ongoing Milchama that is continuing until our day, until our very day. Just a few words about the actual mitzvah itself. Again, we know the Sifri Alocha open up with the words how it's Chomosha B'chamuras, and a very, very serious mitzvah deraisa. But again, to the Loshon of Rashi and Kedusha is it's E'efsha to fully comply with that mitzvah. It's a pach, you don't find such a Loshon. But the brocha that this mitzvah brings is something incredible. First of all, as the Pasuk says, it gives us a Riches Yomim, the man Yerichon Yomecha, Al Adoma, gives us a Riches Yomim. Rabbeinu B'chaim one place says that the middah keneged middah is that when the child gives time for a parent and they give of their time, whatever they're doing, whatever the parent asks, they give their time. So midah keneged midah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them more time. Gives them more time in this world. Also, it's well known that that what a person does for a parent is what they get back afterwards to themselves. A remez for that is actually in this week's parasha, learned from Esav. The pasuk says, Vayovei le'oviv, and he brought the food to his father. If you look at the word Vayovei le'oviv, it reads backwards, Vayovei le'oviv. Vayovei le'oviv, read backwards, is Vayovei le'oviv. It's called a parasha, right. Vayovei le'oviv, this is exactly what he does, and we see, that's what happens. That's exactly what happens. You see that he was mechabed his father, and we just said before, and Eliphaz, ma'aseh, the tzivu shel abba. You see, that one gets it back. I just want to mention one very quick thing. The Sefer Charedim writes that mitzvahs, kibud av v'eim, is a mitzvah that has to be done b'dibur, b'maisa, and his chiddush is b'machshava. And it's quite clear that the machshava is going to determine the dibur and the maisa. Chazal say very clearly a child can bring the most exquisite dishes to a parent, and if they do so with an angry, resentful face, then it's not just the absence of a mitzvah, it's actually an avera itself. And the machshava is going to make all that tremendous difference to how the dibur and the maisa is. So the dibur, again, is how we speak, and what you say, and how you don't contradict. The halachas, again, all in siman reish mem. But the machshava seems to be the very important concept of thinking about them, trying to put them on a pedestal, thinking about them positively, and thinking about them deeply, and understanding where they come from. And very often, if one thinks about this for a long time, one understands certain things. Sometimes parents are what they are because of who their parents were. Sometimes Holocaust survivors, certain different syndromes and situations that parents had or experienced in their lives that made them the way they were. And if children would realize that's how their parents were educated and think deeply about it and discover new things about where they were coming from and why they were the way they were, there wouldn't be so much unfortunate friction and resentment that there is. So it's interesting, in Mishnah, there's a juxtaposition of psukim here in Perik Vav. The pasuk says in pasuk Chaf there, Mishlei, Netzar b'ni mitzvah sovicha v'al titoish terasimecha. Guard, my son, the mitzvah of your father, the commandments of your father, v'al titoish terasimecha. And a few psukim later, the pasuk says, Ki ner mitzvah v'tzera oir, v'derech chayim teichachos musa. Ki ner mitzvah v'tzera oir, v'derech chayim teichachos musa. So Rashi connects those psukim, the juxtaposition of them, and he writes as follows. He says a very interesting thing. Mitzvah sa'av, hu ner. Right? In the previous pasuk it says, Netzar b'ni mitzvas avicha. That corresponds to ner mitzvah. Listening to mitzvah avicha is like a ner, says Rashi. Mitzvah sa'av, hu ner. Kol mi shemekayim mitzvas aviv, ke'ilu noitel ner biyodoi lahadlik b'mokam choshech. It's as if he's taking a candle and lighting it in a dark place. Vim ovad shum davashom, if he lost something there, hu moitza oila oira. He'll find it with the light of the ner. V'chein, mishu mekayim hayroas imoi, oira hiloi. Right? Second half of that pasuk is about titoish teras imecho. And here it says, v'toira oira. So when a person listens to the instructions of a mother, then that is an oira for them as well. V'cheinu oima, other psukim as well. Very interesting, Rashi. When a person is mechabed and listens to the instructions of the parents, it's as if they have a candle in a dark place and they'll find things that they never knew were there. What's the midah keneged midah? It's a very interesting reward for mitzvahs kibud av v'eim. But again, it seems to be possibly with what we're discussing here from the Sefer Charedim, that the whole idea of the machshava is going to help us discover things about parents that we never understood or knew, and therefore look at them in a better light and realize that this is something that I didn't understand, or perhaps when I'm older I'll understand it. Very often teenagers are convinced that they understand everything, but later on they will themselves have a very different view of things when they themselves become parents. And if they use the machshava properly, they'll discover things that They know when you were there. A midah keneged midah, if a person does that with the mitzvah of kibud al va'eim, and as a result their dibur and their maisa improves, midah keneged midah, like a nair in a dark room, they'll discover things that they never knew or never found, and will bring them much bracha in their lives. I'll just conclude with a story that I heard from a reliable source, a very moving, tragic story, but I think it brings out this point very strongly. During the kinder transports, when the tragic scenes took place by the train stations of parents having to say goodbye to their children, their beloved children before the war, during the war, and putting them on the trains with the children innocently being unaware that this is the last time they'll ever see their parents, and the parents weeping and crying, realizing as they bench their child that this is the last time possibly they'll see them, more than likely. So on one occasion there was a there was a father who took his daughter, a young girl of around 12, to the train station. She boarded the train with many other children on the kinder transport. The father was weeping at the train station, and the girl thought she was like sort of basically going for an extended camp. And as the daughter came to the window inside the train, the father raised his hands to hold his daughter's hand for the last few moments. And the daughter was rather shy. Imagine a child going to camp and the parents standing outside there holding the child's hand through the window of the coach. But whatever, the other kids there were there, she wasn't terribly happy about it. She was trying to sort of pull back, as if like, bye dad, I'll see you in a few weeks. But the father couldn't let go, and he just held onto her hand for the last minutes. And then all of a sudden the engine started revving up, and the smoke belched out from the chimney, and all of a sudden the train started moving. And the father continued holding the hand of the child as he was walking down the platform. And the child was like starting to pull back, and the father was continuing to walk. And literally as the train continued, the father was like jogging, running down the platform adjacent to the train. And the child was still trying to pull back, and the father was still holding on. And literally as the train started catching a greater speed, the father pulled his daughter out from the train onto the platform. And this daughter went through 5 concentration camps as a result of this. The father was killed, everybody was killed. She was alone in the world at the end after going through 5 years of Gehenna, through many concentration camps. And when she realized what happened at the train station and what he could have done to save her, she never forgave him. She never forgave him. And every form of suffering she went through, she could not forgive or come to terms with the fact that he did that to her. And somehow or other she managed to survive the war, and eventually, literally alone in the world, she married and moved to Eretz Yisrael and was blessed with a child. And in the hospital, when she held her baby for the very first time, she turned around to her husband and says, "Now I am moichel him. Now I'm moichel him. Now that I'm holding my own child and I know what it means, I have no tainas, I have no questions, I'm moichel him." So as they say, this is something which it's an important thing to always remember, that if we work hard on this chelik ha-machshava, that the mitzvah Shem can help us in this mitzvah, the deraisa, which is chomur shebechamuras, brings so much bracha to a person's life. And the mitzvah Shem, we should be zoicha to be mischazik in this mitzvah, and finally get rid of the schus that Esav has, and be zoicha to be olam oishim, behar tzio, in the shpoit asar Esav, v'hoi Hashem, v'melech.
Very good.